about that. I'm bringing you a message this evening, the help of the Lord on this thought. A big problem in the pulpit today.
Right.
Big problem in the pulpit today. And you've heard me say before, everything rises and falls on leadership. That's right. That's right. The leader doesn't take his stand the way he's supposed to.
Right.
Then he can't expect the congregation to take his stand.
Amen. Right.
Got to take his stand. Amen. Now, if they don't conform to his preaching, he's preaching straight, that's not his fault. That's
Amen. Right.
That's the wrong third fault. And they'll have to answer to God for that.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I believe today that anyone that is in leadership ought to speak with authority.
Amen.
Don't you?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Oratory is probably half of a person that's in leadership, right. of his leadership. Being able to speak with authority. Amen.
Amen.
That's one thing that I never really liked about George W. Bush. I'm serious. And I voted for him. And I'm going to tell you something else. If he'd run again, I'd vote for him again.
Right.
Ain't like him apples.
Amen.
Guarantee you would. Like I said this morning, if he didn't do anything but what he did about signing the bill for that partial birth abortion they had. And that bill they had up to do away with that. If that's all he did, it was worth his entire administration
Amen.
To save these blessed babies from being aborted.
Amen, preacher.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. God did. He can't talk. He cannot make a speech.
Mm-mm.
And that hurts him. It ruins him.
Yeah, it sure does.
Amen.
Do you know that was one of the biggest things that contributed to Hitler's rise for power and fame? He was one great orator. But he could speak. I've listened to some of his speeches. And he could speak and he could motivate the people.
Amen.
Right, that's right.
And speak with fervor.
Oh, yeah.
And move the people and the people follow him.
Amen.
You've got to be able to speak. And you've got to speak with authority. And the people have got to realize and know and recognize that you have the authority.
Amen.
Amen, preacher.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's a must.
Oh, yeah.
You can't get around it.
Mm-mm.
So many preachers, they have no authority at all in the pulpit.
Right.
They can't preach, they can't speak.
Amen.
Mealy mouth things.
Amen.
Some of our politicians are just as bad.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Now, Saul had the authority. He was given to him of God. Authority's got to be given to you.
Right.
I see preachers that can preach and can speak, but they didn't do it with authority because they compromised. Mm-hmm. And I knew they compromised because what they were saying was a compromise. Even though they had a good way of preaching, a good delivery, and they had a good voice, amen,
yeah.
very plain spoken, but they compromised. And you can tell very easily when they didn't have the authority that they ought to have.
Amen.
God.
Amen.
God not give a man authority
right.
if he compromises.
Amen.
Not give it to him, but if he begins to compromise, he'll take it away from him.
That's right.
Right.
That's Saul's case here, really.
Amen.
Saul had the authority of God. God gave it to him, but he failed to use it.
Right.
He gave him the authority, told him what to do,
mm-hmm.
told him to go down to Amalek. He'd already won many battles through the Lord
yeah.
because David himself said Saul has killed his thousands. He killed thousands, but David killed his tens of thousands.
Oh, yeah.
And David had more authority than Saul because David followed the Lord.
Right.
David had the anointing of God upon him. That's important too, that the anointing of God upon him.
Right.
Upon you.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. Have that fresh oil upon you.
Yeah.
Every one way you get that, you don't just get that and just stay with you and do anything you want, not study, not pray, anything.
Right.
That fresh oil to take care
Amen.
Of it. Don't
Amen.
Work that way.
That's right.
You get that every day. Hey, the manna fell every day and Israel had to go out and pick it up every day, the manna from heaven to feed their people.
That's right.
The manna of God's got to get it every day.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
He's got to get that heavenly manna every
Amen.
Day.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
That's right. You got to go to work for the Lord and get it.
Mm. Amen.
That's right. For you to get it, he's got to get it.
Yeah. Amen.
That's the way God works. He hasn't changed along those lines at all.
No, sir.
He hasn't. I know. I've served him too long. I know how he works.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And God, Saul had the authority of God given to him, but he failed to use it. But when God gives it to you, you better use it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. You better use it when God gives it to you.
Yeah.
What happened when they didn't use that man? What happened when they got greedy mm-hmm. and they went out and they gathered more than really they needed?
They rotted.
It rotted. It bred worms and it stank.
Amen.
That's exactly what happens, buddy. I guarantee you when they do wrong by God, allegedly by somebody in leadership, it'll rot and it'll stink. It will. It'll not serve God. That's exactly what Saul has done here.
Amen.
He's become a big stink. in the nostrils of God.
Amen.
Y'all listen to me now. If you don't listen to me, follow with me, you're not going to get anything.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. That's exactly right. Look at our text, if you will. We've chosen verse 24. Verse 24. Said, Saul said unto Samuel, he said, I have sinned. He said, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. Now, what about that? And thy words. What Samuel told him, he's transgressed it too.
Right.
The man of God, the prophet of God. What he told him, he's transgressed it. He hasn't done what he's told to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He said, because I feared the people. That's why he did it. I feared the people and obeyed their voice.
Right.
He obeyed the people's voice instead
right.
of God's.
Right.
Now, listen, a man of God has got to obey God's voice.
Amen.
Right, preacher.
He cannot let the people pull the punches.
Amen.
He can't do that. He can't let the people rule the church.
That's right.
And he is given authority of God to obey him and to be the overseer of the flock. And when he fails to do that, and he lets the people lead and guide him, amen, when he's supposed to be the one that leads and guides them, then he's failed God. And I'll guarantee you, he has no authority.
Right.
His authority went out the window. Same like poking some of these Baptist churches, they let the deacons tell them what to do.
Amen.
In the Word of God, where a deacon is to tell the man of God what to do.
Amen.
That's right.
I don't have any deacons. That's a good biblical position. I just don't need them.
Right.
Maybe if I had several hundred members, I'd need a few. I don't need them. I can take care of what I've got myself. And my good men in the church, when I need something, they can take care of it. I don't need them, really. I don't.
Right.
And they didn't have them in the Bible. They didn't have them until they had 5,000 in the congregation. Lord, when you got 75 or 80, you don't need deacons.
No. Amen.
Right.
All you'll get is the deacons if you do that.
Amen.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right. You don't need that. Amen. But he failed the Lord. He had the authority given to him, but he lost it. Now, he did. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17, along that line of thought, the Bible says that ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's.
Mm-hmm.
And what's saying there, the work is God's.
Yeah. Right.
He's the one that does the judging. Don't worry about what man thinks.
That's right.
Just let God take care of it. All I'm to do really is to preach the Word of God to the folks he blocked. And God takes care of the real work. He does the real work.
Yeah, he does.
That's right. Absolutely, the Lord does. Not me, the Lord does. Even whatever I do, it's because God enables me to do it and encourages me to do it. I would never do it.
Right.
Amen.
Listen, if I didn't have the Lord in me doing that, I lean toward my flesh. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Amen. God help us to see that today. He said, ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's. And just as long as I've got God's word on the matter, that's all I need. That's all I need.
Right.
And if you don't agree with it, listen, I hate it because you don't agree with it because you're going against the grain of God when you do that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know what happens when you go against the grain? You know, a butcher, I've talked to butchers before, and they said, it's all in how you cut meat for it to be good.
Right.
He said, you got to go with the grain. If you go against the grain, you'll get a tough piece of meat.
Amen.
I'll guarantee you, buddy, it'll get tough for you too if you go against the grain of God.
That's right.
You go against his grain, and I guarantee you, he'll get tough with you. You'll have a hard time. The way of the transgressor is hard, the Bible says.
Amen.
That's what you're doing when you're going against the man of God, the word of God. You're transgressing the commandment of God, and you're causing all kinds of trouble for yourself.
That's right.
Telling you now.
Amen.
You see, Saul said he neglected to hear the words of Samuel, the man of God, and the word of God. Heard me say this many times. The old black preacher said, it's my job to lead and to feed. It's your job to follow and to swallow.
Amen.
Right.
And change the bit.
That's
right. The shepherd still leads his sheep to green pastures, and he leads them there, and he watches over them, and he cares for them, and he carries a little shepherd bag, and he's got medicine in there for them, a little balm in there to put on their sores and things.
Yeah.
And got a little basin and get some cool water for her head, cool them down to get sick. And he brings them out there in that green pasture where they can feed. And the shepherd does all that. He leads them and they feed. And they rest. Amen. He cares for them. It doesn't change one bit. That's what the shepherd's supposed to do.
Right.
Amen.
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 Praise God. Fall right in there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm talking about a big problem in the pulpit today. It's a lack of authority.
Amen. That's right.
A lack of exercising the authority.
Amen.
Let me rephrase it. God gives the man of God the authority. If he don't exercise it, he'll lose it.
Right. Amen.
He'll lose it. God's been fooling with him. He put him on a shelf. If he's scared, like Saul was, unless the people, he feared the people, he was scared of them. He should fear God, not the people.
Right.
Buddy, I fear God.
Amen.
I don't fear you.
Right.
Amen.
I'm not one bit afraid of any man or woman or anybody. I'm not afraid of them. They might beat the tar out of me, but I'm not afraid of them. I fear God.
Amen.
And if they lay a hand on me, God will take care of that.
Right. Yes, sir.
He says it's a righteous thing with him to recompense tribulation to them that trouble me.
Right.
Are you, if you're a child of God, he's anointed. Not necessarily has to be the preacher, just his anointed.
Right.
And all of you that are children of God are anointed of God. You're anointed because if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. And that anointing is the Spirit of Christ. It's the Holy Ghost that lives within every born-again believer that makes a difference.
Amen.
And with the man of God.
That's right.
Amen. Church today claim to have church. He don't have church.
Right.
Lord God. God, they will know God if he come on the scene.
That's right. Amen.
I'm telling you right now, it's pitiful. Some things going on today.
Amen.
It's awful. I told you every once in a while, I'll go back in them four or five channels there of that church programs on DirecTV. Lord God. Such a mess, I'm telling you. They dance and scream, hair down to here like a bunch of stinking demons.
Yeah.
With earrings in their ears, nose, and everything in the world.
Yeah.
Awful looking butts I've seen in my life.
Amen.
It's
a mess.
They have the appearance of Satan. I'm going to tell you right now what the heck.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. God's not in that mess.
No, sir, brother.
No.
I love the old-fashioned preaching.
Amen.
The old King James Bible. The old way of doing things.
Amen, preacher.
Some of the old kings. It was your, you remember it was your grandmother, was it? Or your mother? At the church where they go, asking to sing, How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, I never heard that before. Ain't that awful?
Yep.
A Baptist church never heard How Beautiful Heaven Must Be?
Yeah.
She said, they don't sing the old hymns.
Right.
Isn't that awful? Sure. They've gotten away from them. Sing these old jazzed up songs some heathen wrote.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah,
bounce around like a bunch of rubber balls.
Amen.
Amen.
God help me. Amen. I want to get off of that. Glory to God. But as long as I've got God's word on the matter, that's all I need. That's all I need. It's never failed me. His word has never failed me. One time he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Right. That's right.
He's a very present help in trouble and one that sticks closer than a brother.
Yes, sir.
Buddy, that's all I need.
That's amen. Right. That's
amen.
It.
He's never failed me. I found myself in a little trouble. I said, Lord, it's your hands. You've got it. I can't do nothing with it.
Amen.
Okay. He said, preacher, you lay awake and think about all I know. I go to sleep and let God stay awake. Think about it. He never sleeps anyway, says he.
Right. Right. Amen.
He's never weary. He never sleeps. Right. I'm digging shit, I stay up all night.
Right.
He can take care of it. He's been to take care of it.
Amen.
He always does. Right. Now, if I were in the wrong, I could very well be kept up all night. He has waked me up before when something I just didn't do just right and spoke to me, buddy. I mean, ripped me up one side and down the other. And I've had to roll out of the bed on my knees and cry for mercy and ask God to comfort me and promise God I'd do better.
That's right.
That's the thing I ought to have done, too. Something you need to do when you do wrong, you know it.
Yeah.
Just admit it. Get off your high horses. Quit being so cocky and so proud and thinking you're something when we're nothing without Jesus. And Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Yes,
we need to learn those things, for heaven's sakes. Every one of us do.
Right.
Don't be ashamed. If you're doing something wrong, don't be ashamed. Get up and come down this altar.
Amen.
God. That's right.
Amen.
Amen, preacher.
Amen.
Right reproach upon God when you won't mind him.
Right.
Right.
Now, what about your children? When they say, you say, now you need to do this, son. Well, I tell you right now, I'm not going to. What would you do?
That's right.
I'd wear a tiny in at what I'd do for it.
Amen.
It's exactly what do you think God's going to do?
Amen.
You keep telling God you're not going to do it. I want to tell you something. If God speaks to you about something that you've done, you know you shouldn't, and God says you need to go to the altar, you better learn to burn God and come to this altar and ask God to forgive you.
Right.
God to help you. That's what we have an offer in the Baptist church.
Amen.
Right.
You know, I have had people tell me in some of these old modernistic churches, we don't have an altar. You know what they tell me? It's too much like a Baptist. I said, hallelujah!
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank God we got that name that we got it on. You know what the first thing that Noah did when he got off the ark?
Built an altar.
Built an altar.
Yes, sir.
You know what the first thing when God told Abraham to come out of Ur of Chaldees and go into a land that he would show him?
Yes.
You know the first thing he did when he stopped to make an encampment? He built an altar.
Yes, preacher.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for an altar.
Amen.
Where you put stuff today on an altar.
Right.
You make sacrifice on an altar.
That's right.
Amen.
That's what it's for. Amen. I am to never question the authority of the Lord in any way, shape, or fashion.
Amen.
I'm to never do that.
That's right. Amen.
That's right. What Saul did.
Right.
It's right you question the Lord. Oh, I'll just go ahead and do this. I don't want to get the people all riled up. I'm sure God won't mind me doing this. I got half of them. I killed half of them. I'm sure he won't mind me. And I got the king Agag, you little sniveling thing. I've got King Agag. Well, if you read on, you'll find out what Samuel done with that.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Took the sword and hacked him to pieces right there in front of Saul.
Yeah, sure.
That's what a man of God did.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He cut him to pieces, buddy.
That's right.
He did right. Amen. He took the sword and cut him to pieces. What do you think I do? I take the sword and cut him to pieces.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
That's it.
That's sharp one, didn't it?
This is the sword of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
It's sharper than any two-edged sword, the Bible says.
Amen.
And we cut the enemy of the Lord to the pieces with it.
Yeah. Amen. Lord.
That's right, buddy.
Amen.
I guarantee he'll cut you. Why? It cuts going and coming.
That's right.
Coming and going.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
If you read it, that's what he did. That's as good an illustration of using the Word of God, you'll find it.
Amen.
One of those things, you know, that old prophet did with that sword of Saul's old way.
Yeah.
He cut him to pieces. Hacked him, the Bible says.
Yeah.
Hacked him. Yes, sir.
Amen.
All right. In Proverbs 3 and verse 5, we read, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding."
Amen.
See, it doesn't matter what we think.
That's
what
right.
We think, we know. We're just to simply trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. You know, when you were growing up, you trusted that your mom and dad, you trusted your mom and dad, didn't you?
Amen.
I did. I trusted that they'd keep a roof over my head.
That's right.
And, place to dwell. Lord, sometimes I wonder if he's going to stay or not. Some place we lived in. But nonetheless, we had a house. Some people might not love a house. Back in those days, I mean, boy, we had some pretty rickety, shackly-looking houses we lived in. I'm telling you. I seen my old mother take a butcher knife and a bunch of rags and stuff them around the windows to keep the cold iron. Sue, you've seen that, haven't you? I tell you, you grew up in the area I did. I know good and well what I'm talking about. Seen the old linoleum rug we'd have on the floor. Come up about that high off the ground, the wind blowing underneath, didn't have no underpinning, the wind blow through the cracks and the old rug stand up. How many of y'all have seen that in the house? Sure you have. Mm. Old wind go down the flue and the smoke pour into the house and choke everybody happy to death. Why? Because everybody was sitting right around the stove, that's the only place you can stay warm.
Yeah.
Rough time.
I bet.
Yeah.
But they provided the best of good at that time.
Yes,
I knew they'd do it. I knew they'd feed me.
Right.
I trusted it. I didn't think about it. I'd come home from the little old country school I went to back in East Kentucky, and I always knew that there'd be some supper there.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's right. They always a pot of beans on the old coast, old cooking.
Amen.
We always have a good thick pot of super beans, we call them.
Right.
They call them pinto beans later on. I don't know what he's talking about. You just call them super beans. That's what we call them. They call them miner's strawberries a lot of times. That's all miners took to work with them down home.
Yeah.
But we always had something. We always had some gravy. Maybe sometime we'd have water gravy and water bread. How many people ever eat water gravy and water bread? That's right, several of you have. Hey, man, it's pretty good, too. Tell you right now. Brown, we call it bulldog gravy. I told Durbin Spear one day, I said, you ever eat water gravy? He said, you mean bulldog gravy? Old Durbin's mouth mountains, too. I said, you got it, son. That's what we call it, too, bulldog gravy.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's real good gravy. Try it sometime. Don't even use any milk. Just squirt your flour a little bit. Hey, man, a little bacon. Just got to have a little grease. And pour you some water in there. Thicken it up. And, man, it's good. You can make water bread without any milk or anything you can.
Yeah.
We used to make palm bread. We call it palm. Put it in a big old iron skillet. It's a big palm. And pull it out and tear it off. Lay it down and pour that water gravy over and go at it.
Yeah.
But I always had something to eat.
Amen.
I trusted my mother and daddy would clothe me. I didn't have the best clothes back then. We didn't have Goodwills like you got today. You talk about blessing the people don't have a lot of money. Buddy, them Goodwills are a blessing.
Yes, sir, brother.
They are.
Yeah.
They really are.
Oh, yeah.
They're a blessing, man.
Amen.
Everybody in America can dress good today.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no reason why they shouldn't, Brother Jim, are they? Everybody in America can dress good today. That's the truth. You don't have to have big money to dress good today. Them Goodwills are thriving. They're everywhere, and they're just hanging full of good stuff. Now they are.
Yeah, they are.
Sure. That God had had that when I was in high school, a Goodwill close. I remember, God is my witness, having one pair of pants. That's all I had. Shoes with holes in the bottom. Cut out a piece of old inner tube and put inside them to keep the water off my feet.
Mm.
Wear a pair of pants 2 or 3 days and wash them and hang them up to dry, and they'd freeze. And the next morning I put them on before they'd dry. Mm. And wear them to school. High school.
Wow.
Yes, sir. We probably had a good deal back then. Mm-hmm. I had something to wear. I wasn't naked. Wasn't starving.
Right.
Wasn't sleeping out on the open ground. And I trusted that the Lord would do that for me. And I said all that to say this. We need to learn to trust the Lord.
Amen.
Right.
I trusted my mother and daddy to do all that for me. And I said all that to say this. We need to learn to trust the Lord like we did our mother and daddy.
Right.
Trust him. Just trust him. He'll never let you down. My mother and daddy didn't let me down.
Amen.
I never let my children down. They can't tell you that I let them go hungry.
Right.
Or let them go without shelter over their head, or let them go without clothes.
Amen.
They were raised a lot better than I was.
Yes, sir.
That.
Right.
And their children right now are being raised a lot better than they were.
Right. Amen.
Well, I don't know. Material-wise.
Yeah. Amen.
You have to take a wheat scoop to get through the toys in their rooms.
Amen.
Right.
I didn't buy that many toys.
I say throw them out.
I bought very few. I think you can buy too many toys.
Oh, yes, sir.
I do.
Yeah.
You're right, Brent.
I really do. I think
you're right,
Brent. It's one of the things that needs to cease in this country.
Amen.
I've been trying to get to the place where we just have a big dinner and forget about all those gifts. If you want to get something, get some little something. I talked to Mr. Pierce. I don't know if it's just he's too tight to buy anything or he was really sincere over here at Pierce Ford. And he said, our family have come to the agreement we don't buy gifts anymore. He said, we just think that we got enough, and we just meet, and we have a good meal on Christmas Day, and enjoy one another's company, and let that be enough.
Praise
you know what? That's what we do Thanksgiving Day. I think that would be the thing that we need to do on Christmas Day. Amen. Wow. Quit buying so much junk and piling up rooms full of toys.
Yeah, man.
Fill the attic
yes.
in the basement up.
That's right.
Full of toys and take the money. I just wasted it, and kids will play with the boxes now more than will the toys anyway.
Right. That's
Amen.
It.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I guarantee you, I see my grandchildren. We'll buy them stuff for Christmas. I'll be looking. They'll be wearing a box crawling around
right.
the thing with toys when they're around the floor.
That's right. Right. Yeah.
Forget about it.
Amen.
It's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
What does it take to get a message across to us?
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Hey, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you the truth.
That's the truth, right. brother. That's very true.
We take in money that we're wasting on toys and use it for something else about our household that's needed. Maybe put a new roof on your house or...
Gas in the car.
Do some repairs on your vehicle. Or
Amen.
Put some gravel on your driveway. Boy, I need some of that right now. I'll tell you that. You may even be able to pave you. Hey, with the toys we're buying today, we can pave our driveways.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what? I'm going to stay on this.
Stay on, brother.
I never had a bicycle the whole time I was growing up. I never had a sled. And I wanted both of them. I never had one. When I rode one, I had to ride somebody else's. I never had one. I never did. Never did. I grew up. It didn't kill me.
Amen.
Didn't kill me. It didn't kill us, did it, Brother Gene? We was glad to have a piece of cornbread and both beans. Maybe a glass of buttermilk every once in a while. Green onion deep with it. We was just glad to have that.
Amen.
I was telling him back there a while ago, I read the Kentucky Explorer, this old boy's in World War II in the Philippines, and his mother sent him a mason jar full of fried chicken, and she had fried, and he said, oh, I never feasted like that before in my life. Here I am in the Philippine Islands at war with the Japanese, eating my mommy's fried chicken back in eastern Kentucky.
Amen. That's good.
Amen. People today could care less about something like that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a preacher say, I think we preachers need to get off of this old stuff, so we're preaching to a younger crowd today, and they don't need to be preaching on mules and this and that. I disagree with
them.
Amen.
Amen, preacher.
I think that's the best
preach your way, brother.
Amen.
Yes.
Get down to earth with
yes,
the
preacher. Amen.
Preach that'll drive a point off
preach it.
To the American public.
Amen.
That's right.
Hey, man, I'm not interested one bit in some of the junk this new generation has got to
do. Right.
Amen.
Not one little bit am I interested in.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I can draw an illustration from a man plowing with a mule a lot easier than I can with a computer.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
I tell you, I can. You see, it's just trusting the Lord. Faith in God's word.
Yeah.
And if a man of God, if he doesn't have the authority, that's his problem. He doesn't have faith in God's word. And faith comes from the word, too.
Yeah.
And faith in the word, trusting in the Lord with all your heart. And leaning not unto your own understanding.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I just think if we do it this way or that way. Well, no, let's do it God's way.
Amen. That's right.
Let's do it God's way. See, faith in God's word will fix our position. And every one of us have a position in life.
Yeah.
God positioned you in the church. Everyone here that's Christian tonight has been positioned in this church right here.
Right.
And God expects something out of you. Every one of you. Amen. He does. You say, well, I'm coming to church. Hey, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not, you see, all you're doing is coming to church. You're coming to church and you're just sitting down and you're being fed. That's all.
That's right.
There's no other works out here.
Right.
Amen. Works out there.
Amen.
It's like a football huddle.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the players get in the huddle. Coach gets there with them. Amen. He tells them what to do, the game plan, the strategy and everything.
That's right.
But the real work begins when they get out on that line. That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right. And when we get out on that line with the Lord,
that's good for you.
Start knocking on doors and telling our people that they need to get saved or go to hell,
right.
and getting verbally abused, and you will. Yeah. You'll have people talk to you like a dog, but we got to go ahead and take it.
Amen.
Pray God give us strength and keep on talking to them about Jesus.
Amen.
Get out and knock doors, buddy. You're going to have it. You'll have doors slammed in your face.
Amen.
You'll have people laugh at you and mock you and make you mad in the flesh, but you got to go on and take it because you're positioned here for that very thing.
Right. Amen.
Every one of us are.
Amen.
If we weren't, God would have took you home the moment you asked the Lord to forgive you and save you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And he'd save you, he'd accept you up. Like you on Star Trek, that old show you was going. Beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's what would have happened.
Right.
Yeah.
God would have beamed us all up.
Amen.
The moment we got saved.
Amen.
He left us here for a position.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's amen. Good. Every one of us has got one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a pastor. I got a position.
Right.
Buddy to hold down while I'm in this life.
Right. Amen.
Fulfilled with Almighty God. Every one of you all have too.
Amen.
Every one of you have. Mm-hmm. Amen. And faith in God's word will fix our position. It'll fix us. It'll establish us.
Yeah.
What I'm saying. It'll fix us. Amen.
Right.
That's right. In Psalm 112 verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, the righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. Trusting in the Lord. And the word. So faith in God's word will fix our position. Amen? Then I've got another one here. Faith in God's word is our, not only will it fix our position, but it's our spiritual nutrition.
Yeah. Amen.
Right. Yes, it is. Boy, I had some good nutrition today. My son-in-law, Todd, barbecued some ribeyes. Man, that thing was good. Oh, they were so tender. Had that fat around. I like that fat.
Hey.
Somebody said they trim all the fat. I said, man, I don't trim fat off mine. I eat that fat, that lean. I get a little brown boy. Oh, I can go to town that thing.
Amen.
Oh, had a big old baked potato about that big. Salad. Big old fresh homemade. Geneva baked them big old fresh homemade yeast rolls. Hot. Butter running out of them. Sounds good, don't you? Oh, nutrition.
Amen.
Amen. I was hungry, too. I tell you what, yesterday I was hungry. I came over, I ate a bowl of cereal this morning at 7 o'clock, 7:30. And I was over here about 8 o'clock, from 8 till 7 yesterday evening. And someone had that little meal out here, you know, after we had the burial service, and came back. I was starving to death.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, I hit that sandwich line out there, boy.
That's right.
Got me some chicken, and got me some of that tater salad,
yeah.
And some of that turkey. Made me a sandwich and cheese, and I mean, boy, some tater chips. And buddy, I chowed down, got me two plates of food. Ate two plates of food. Just made one mistake. The first chicken I got was boneless, and And I thought it was all boneless. I about lost my tooth. So the second chicken I got out, oh, and I about broke my tooth. I'm damn thing sore right now. It had a bone in it.
Yeah.
So well, next time, let's do like the Chinese and put them little stickers up out there. Boneless chicken, boneless chicken. Buddy, I tell you, I'll be 64 years old next month. I can't afford to lose any teeth. You better hope I don't, because I've already got in my mind, if I get my tooth messed up, I'm going to put a big gold one right there. I've always wanted a big gold tooth. So when I grin, the sun hits it more than up your eyes. Geneva doesn't always know where I'm at. I just grin, she can see the glisten on. That used to be a common thing when I was a boy. People had gold teeth right here. My daddy had one. My uncle had one. That's a little boy, I just looked up at it like a star of big gold. And I thought, when I get big, I'm going to get me a gold teeth.
There you go.
Little Gracie is so, I've got two or three gold teeth right here. And little Gracie, she'll go, look at my teeth. She likes to look at that gold tooth.
Mm.
I'll always be worth something, woman.
Yeah.
Amen. Let me get over that. But faith in God's word is our spiritual nutrition. Without it, you don't get any nutrition spiritually.
That's right.
And so if you don't get nutrition, what happens in your physical body, then your muscle begins to deteriorate.
That's right.
You lose your muscle tone, you lose your fat, and it works on your muscle. Am I right?
Amen. Yeah. You're right.
Get somewhere with you. I'm laying some groundwork here.
Preach.
I want to tell you right now, you'll lose your muscle power if you don't get that spiritual nutrition.
Amen, preacher.
Your muscle for the Lord will deteriorate.
Right.
Amen.
You've got to have faith and trust in God's word.
Amen.
Right. It's a must.
That's right.
Amen.
It's a must, or you'll lose your physical, your spiritual muscle tone.
That's right. Amen. It's good preaching, brother.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Now, buddy, I eat and I exercise, and I tell you, I can still take care of myself.
Amen.
Amen. I can climb a tree. I can run right along with my grandchildren.
Praise the Lord.
I might get down next week, but right now, up to this point here, Brother Andy, I'm in pretty good shape. Didn't you?
Really?
I guarantee you, old Mike and Sean went out with me one day, split some wood, and they were all I had to take that 14-pound log, split the wood myself. I remember that, Mike? You were a lot younger than too.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Yeah. Just that one piece of...
Now, I'm more concerned about my spiritual
life
than I am my physical.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Because the spirit of a man, the Bible says, will sustain his infirmity.
Amen.
So you can lose this outward appearance, you know, and the boy, you keep that good, healthy spirit. It'll sustain you. Keep that spirit fed.
Amen. That's
strong,
right.
Strong and vibrant.
That's right.
For the Lord. You can't do that no other way but in the Word of God.
Amen.
Mm. It's trust in God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Believe in God for what He said. Trust in Him, prove Him.
Amen,
preacher. Just like you did when you got saved.
Yes.
Heard the Word of God preached.
Yeah.
And it convicted you. And you saw that you were lost because God said you were lost. And you believed God when He said you were lost.
Yes,
and
preacher.
He showed you the
truth
of your lost condition. Then He told you what to do. And you said, well, if God said that, I'm going to go ahead and accept what God said. And just see if He won't say this. Oh, hell, that's right. And you did. You turned from your sin.
Yes.
And you turned your eyes on
Jesus.
And you said, oh,
yes,
Lord Jesus. Save me, you know what happened?
Save me.
He did.
Amen.
Sure he did. Save me, man.
What'd you do? You proved His word.
That's right.
You know what? We're to continue to prove Him like that.
Yeah.
After we're saved. Mm-hmm. On and on, we prove His word. Just like we did when we got saved.
Right.
That's what the Lord wants out of us. That's what His book teaches. That's what it teaches.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual nutrition. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. This is what the prophet said. I've got to hurry. He said, thy words were found, or the Bible was found. King James Bible was found. I found it. I found it. He said, thy words were found. And I did eat them. And the word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Thy word was unto to me, the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Talk about spiritual nutrition. Boy, you feel good, don't you? I tell you, you don't eat good, you don't feel good. You don't. Your body gets weak, you don't feel good, do you? You don't. You get, I don't know about you, but if I don't eat, right, I get dizzy. I just don't feel good. I don't. Really don't. That's how I know when God's in my fasting, if I fast and I don't get dizzy or anything, and I do got food for the Lord, and I know that God's in.
Right.
I'm not doing it in the flesh. But when you do it in the flesh, you do that food just to lose weight. You just do that food, just lose weight. But you'll suffer some dizziness and things. You will. You will. That's where this bulimic and anorexia comes in. That's right. Women, I don't know any men do that. At least I never run across any men with that. Do men get that? Do they do that? I told them when a little girl died in our church with that. 16 years old. Her little grave over there where we laid Sister Pearl's remains yesterday to rest. Yeah. Her little grave's over there. Little Lisa Bolright died. She got saved in May in our church of, what year was that? It's been a long time. 83, 84, 25 years ago. And she died that August, I think it was around Labor Day. She's a junior over here at Old County High School with our kids. Believe me. And that's what happened. You know, your physical body has to give up. You don't feel it.
Yeah.
Well, your spiritual body has to be. That's why the Lord meant when he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Yeah.
He said, your word, thy words were found, I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoice of my heart. So you feel good when you're feeding on spiritual food the way you're supposed to. That's why you feel good when you leave here after service and you stand back here and you just pack and you don't want to leave. How many of y'all like that?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You feed on the word of God, you feel good. You feel like talking about the Lord. You feel like fellowship with the saints. You see, when you're talking to one another as Christians, you're in the presence of God because our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, John said.
Amen.
And brings joy, joy, joy.
Yeah, it does.
That's why Peter said to the Lord, said that when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration and Jesus was glorified and Moses and Elijah appeared there with him and spake to him of his decease, they talked to him about Calvary and what he was to do with the cross. And old Peter said, oh Lord, boy, it's good to be up here. We just build us a house up here and stay up here.
Yep.
I feel like that church service sometimes.
Amen.
Especially when we have a camp meeting. I don't even want to leave. I don't want to get over. I'm so sad and lonely when camp meeting's over. I walk these grounds sometimes. It's just so lonely. It makes me want to go home and be the Lord. Amen. Never be lonely in heaven, I guarantee you. Brother Gary, Pearl's not lonely tonight, honey. I guarantee you that.
Amen.
She's happy right now and she's ever been or ever will be.
Yeah.
There's nothing but happiness in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly bliss. Praise God. Skies that never cloud up. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Amen.
What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see.
Amen.
And I'll look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace.
Amen.
What a day that will be.
Amen.
Amen. I said faith in God's word will fix our position. It's our spiritual nutrition. And it produces a spiritual disposition.
Amen.
It does.
Yeah.
Your disposition is not worth blood nickel if you're not being
Amen.
Spiritual.
Amen.
You get out of sorts, you do. We call it indifferent. And that's exactly what it is. You get indifferent.
That's right.
And there's no good fellowship with you. Uh-huh. When you don't have that spiritual disposition. And you don't have that if you're not feeding and getting the spiritual nutrition.
Yeah, that's right.
And matter of fact, Amen. All these points are right because you don't do that because you get out of position.
Yeah, that's it.
Amen.
Amen. See how it all goes together?
Amen.
You know how I made myself sometimes, how smart I am. It's God.
Look out. Amen.
I know what it is. It's God.
Right.
I said all that to get you to laugh. And then hit you with a punchline.
Yeah.
Hey.
You got to learn preaching, son. Hey, listen. I want to tell you right now. It's amazing how God will pick somebody that really just trusts God completely.
Right.
Like you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And sit down and say, God, help me get this message together, Lord. You give me a thought and a text and a topic. Help me to get together. And how the Lord will lead you.
Yep.
And guide you and direct you. And put those points down to keep keep you in line. Because God's a God of order. He said, let everything be done decently and in order.
Right.
And you think, well, Lord, I can't preach that. And the more you study it, the more it comes alive. Praise God. And when you get ready to preach it, Brother Tom, you think, good night, what a message. God does that.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Amen. Anything else wouldn't do anything for you. It's got to be outlined by God.
Amen.
It's got to be outlined by God. God does my outlining.
Sure he does.
Right. I guarantee you he does. He does my outlining.
Sure he does.
He enables me to preach. He works through me.
Right.
For the benefit of his church.
Right.
God does.
Right.
He does it all. Amen. And he produces, listen, God's word produces spiritual disposition.
Amen.
You become spiritual. People that stay natural after they made a profession of faith, after they supposedly repented and turned to Christ for salvation, they continue on the natural trend. They don't quit their old natural ways. They don't change. I think they're saved.
Amen.
And then people that become spiritual after they get saved, and then somewhere along the line, something happens and they turn to the flesh and they get indifferent.
Yeah.
You see, they've got out of position.
Right.
They got their own disposition.
That's right.
And they need to do the first works over again. They need to turn to God and repent. Ask God not to save them. They're already saved. But to forgive them and get them back into fellowship with him.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is, brother. See, a lot of these churches got it wrong. They think when a person gets like that, if they've been saved, they're saved forever. If they've been saved.
Right.
But you get out of position. You can't now. Don't you tell me you can't. You can. You get indifferent on
yes,
God.
Sir.
You can. In the flesh, you can.
Sure can,
but it takes good hard preaching. That's why we like hard preaching.
Amen.
Straight, yeah, it's good for you.
Amen.
It, God will use it in your heart. God will convict you. God will condemn your ways. And God will draw you to the altar. And once you break, let your heart be broken by God. And you say, oh, Father, forgive me. Oh, what words you might say. I shall be a fool, dear Lord. Oh, God, forgive me. And immediately God forgives you.
Yeah,
and that good grace of God settles down upon
you. Amen.
Once again, you're back in the right.
Thank you, Jesus.
You've got the right disposition.
That's right.
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful how God works?
Yes, sir.
That's how it works. That's true.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I would give it to you, wasn't true.
That's right.
You have a spiritual disposition.
Amen.
And God of God's word. In Psalm 119, verse 130, he said, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
Giveth light. You can see what you need to see.
Right.
The entrance of thy word. It says, it giveth understanding unto the simple.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Unto the simple.
Right.
And that's all we are.
That's right. Amen.
The Bible says we don't have to direct our own paths. That's what it says.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. God directs our paths. He calls our steps. He orders our steps. Steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. Psalm 37.
Yeah.
Ordered by the Lord. That's right.
Right.
Amen.
You preach a message about our heavenly drill sergeant and the Holy Ghost. Our heavenly drill sergeant and the Holy Ghost. Counts cadence. He counts cadence for us. He orders our steps through life.
Right. That's right.
The Holy Ghost does.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
That's the truth. Let me give you these four things and I'll shut up. Number one, if we ignore God's word, I'm not going to elaborate on you. I'm just going to give it to you and then we'll pray. Close out. If we ignore God's word, he will ignore us.
Yeah.
He will.
Amen.
He said, draw out of him, he'll draw out of you. Two-part thing there.
Yeah.
You and him. But if you ignore him, he will ignore you. Number two, if we inquire of God, he will influence us.
Yeah.
Amen.
If we inquire of God, he will influence us. He will.
Right.
I want to be influenced by the Almighty. I do. I want the influence of God on me.
Amen.
I do. Why? Because I want to be able to influence you. And influence and comfort work the same way in a man of God, or a Christian in general. God said, you're to take the comfort that I give you and comfort others with it.
Amen.
By the same like token, I'm to take the influence of God and influence others with it. Am I right? Say amen.
Amen.
I have any influence of my own. I've got to come from God. If I get anything done, if it's real, if it's real, if it's heavenly, it's got to come from God.
Amen.
Amen.
Then thirdly, if we initiate, God will participate.
That's right.
Yeah, he will.
Amen. He will, but he'll jump on it. Praise God. If we initiate, he'll participate. And then if we imitate, God will congratulate.
Amen.
And the imitates to be an example.
That's right.
And when we do that, and congratulate means to be pleased.
Right.
When you congratulate somebody for something, you're pleased.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. If we don't take God, we can't help but get the blessing of God for us.
Amen.
And his good pleasure. Mm-hmm. Am I right to say
Amen.
It?
Amen.
Thank